Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And end of season means nothing to us. It just means another weekend, even on Father's Day. In fact, this is...
especially on Father's Day.
This is a gift to ourselves and each other, being here with you on Father's Day in the Rugby Dungeon for this podcast, where we're going to take in what little rugby there was this weekend, talk about the other stories in the rugby world, and let you know about what's going on. JB's right there.
Hello, Timothy.
We are not streaming on YouTube at the moment, and it's just as well, because I'm looking at those... those toes.
Yeah, and apparently I'm not allowed to be sockless in my own home.
They're so dirty.
I've been walking around.
They're so big and so dirty.
I walk around barefoot. I walk basically around Shawls and barefoot if it wasn't so socially unacceptable.
Well, no, Shawls is one of the places that it is socially acceptable.
No, but if I do that, I'm...
you're one of them.
I'm one of them, aren't I? I'm one of their people.
Yes, and Phil's here.
Hello, Tim.
Phil, hello. Right. We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and at the top of that Twitter account is a link currently to buy your tickets for our live show. More on that in a little bit, but thank you very much for everyone that's got on board for a really good start. So it's shaping up already.
I can't believe how many people have always signed up.
Well, no, it's brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. Come on. We've had 200 odd people come with us to Madrid.
Yeah, we have some T-shirts which we just couldn't get around to selling. Well, not getting on selling, we just couldn't get around to getting them on the bloody internet. So I've got all these T-shirts with Egg Chasers across the front. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because I feel like I should give out as many of these T-shirts as I can to make sure there's Egg Chasers T-shirts in the crowd for Stephen Jones's warm-up act.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to be stood outside giving them out for free?
So
all right, so let's do this now. So there is a live event happening. We're having a live podcast. We apologise again for not doing one during the... Six Nations. We didn't have a Tier 2 tour because young Thomas...
Sorry, guys. Thomas says sorry.
Thomas is what, six months now?
Only 4 months.
4 months.
Just over 4 months.
Yes, of course he is.
But he'll have to live with the shame forever.
Absolutely. I keep reminding him.
Yes.
But young Thomas's arrival meant we couldn't have a live podcast, but this is what we're doing. 7th of September at Twickenham Stadium in the newly renovated East Stand, we are going to be doing a live show... with a load of other rugby shows as well. So this is our Negroni party. This is our JB 2020 rugby committee launch.
Launch, yep.
This is a World Cup preview on the day that England fly out to Japan. This is the day after they fly to Italy. It gets underway at 10:30 in the morning, goes on all day, and you can be there. Tickets, www.podcastlive.com.
Yeah, and here, the first 20 people, right, to send me a tweet saying that you've bought your ticket, it can have one of the green Egg Chasers T-shirts.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll bring them to Twickenham and we'll...
That's a good point, actually.
First people there, because we've already had loads more than that sign up that are saying to come. They'll be a bit cheesed off.
But the next 20. But you,
right. Yeah. Oh, no, but people could...
From today.
Oh, yeah, from today. So people could just screenshot their ticket.
I'll know their name when they tweet me.
Screenshot their ticket.
Yeah, but it's easy. It's not beyond the wit of man.
Screenshot your ticket, but not in a way that anyone could print it out and bring it along.
And yet the Stephen Jones warm-up first.
So, yes, we're there. The Times podcast is there. Brian Moore is there. So as JB's highlighted, Stephen Jones and Brian Moore. And if you've seen JB on Twitter down the years, you'll know that this could be a really fun day. There's Under the Sticks. There's Q Commentator. There's, I've forgotten some others, but there's loads of podcasts, more to be
all
added
great,
as well.
All great podcasts.
Podcastlive.com. We are dead excited about this one. Thank you to everyone that's already signed up. And yeah, come along. It's going to be a really, really good day. Make a day of it. And you two are going off to live in Japan, aren't you?
We are. We've got 3 weeks there. Or just under 3 weeks following the Team of Freedom. The team of number 45, USA.
It's not cheap, Japan.
So my
point being, there's a lot of people that can't be there. And you're saving yourself a bunch of money by not going. Well, admittedly, you're not going to Japan. Mm-hmm. But just get yourself along. This is how to start the World Cup if you can't be in Japan.
Exactly. You will not get a more informed opinion, except for from all the other podcasts that are there, about Japan than listening to us.
Well, you'll definitely get opinion. We can't promise it's informed.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
Nick Heath has been out to Japan. You've been watching his stuff?
No.
Oh, right. It's pretty good, actually. Quite enjoying it.
My social media is more spent just checking up on what rugby players are doing on their summer holidays.
Exactly. And what are rugby players doing on their summer holidays, Tim?
A lot of them are in groups. They're going around in packs together.
Most of the forwards, or?
No, a lot of backs together. Well, no, in fact, it's a real mix. This is a standard picture. This is what a lot of rugby players are doing. I'm looking at Sam Hill's picture, and he's in Bali with a bunch of Exeter Chiefs, and they're all wearing Speedos at a...
Any other players spotted on holiday?
I did see that... Johnny Sexton, Leinsterman,
was with
two Munstermen, with Keith Earls and Peter Omani.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, traitor.
He actually said on his Twitter that he's coming back to training, did he not? I guess that's Irish training, though.
That was a week or so ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
What do you reckon Tom Curry would do on his summer holiday?
Tom Curry? They're very sensible, those Currys. Now, okay, so I'm going to give you some insight into Tom Curry. Tom Curry is very much falling in line with some of the thoughts of James O'Connor in terms of wellness. So maybe he's gone to do something like, I don't know, move like a goat for 3 weeks. I've got no idea.
Combined with a mental health wellness retreat.
Yeah.
Well, he's gone with some mates to...
Yoga.
Saint-Tropez.
Oh.
And they've been doing cycling.
That is so sensible. And that's so Curry-ish. Yeah. Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah, there we go.
You mentioned James O'Connor. Can we talk about Australian international James O'Connor? We've mentioned this before, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
His some people go to yoga classes, CrossFit classes, circuits.
Oh, no.
All the rest. Some people, what do people do for wellness and stuff? Some people see psychologists, mindfulness, meditation.
That kind of thing.
All basically nonsense.
not all nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
Yoga?
Yoga's nonsense, yeah.
Hot yoga's amazing,
yeah, hot yoga's nonsense.
Yoga's great for deep stretching.
I've never, like, I did hot yoga I did hot yoga once and thought it would be, like, stretching, and...
I've heard it's very, very difficult.
I've never had a wetter t-shirt. I had to wring it out.
But isn't that because it's really hot?
It's partly, but you have to work properly hard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like hot environments anyway. Meditation's a complete waste of time. yeah.
All right, Sam Harris.
Yeah. Let's not get into that. This is a clip that we found on Instagram, which is just monumental. Have a guess what James O'Connor is doing here.
that's like you on the podcast normally. Heavy breathing in the background.
Any ideas what that is? Any ideas what that is?
I know what it sounds like. Needs to turn it up a bit.
Yeah, so it's not only James O'Connor engaging in this, it's also Danny Cipriani. So they're both out in California doing a...
Oh, is it California?
I'm guessing it's California. It looks like... Let's call it California. It's Malibu. Malibu's California, is it not?
Yeah,
it is.
Doing meditation, maybe, or breathing exercises. That is the biggest con on earth. I've seen a few of these guys now, and they class themselves as breathing coaches. Have you ever felt you needed a coach to breathe, Phil? Where would you get qualified?
That is a great question.
Who tests you?
That's a great question. Well,
what does your CPD look like?
What happens if you fail?
These are all great questions. Like, how do they ensure good practice?
There is also, have you seen his previous post where he's underwater holding dumbbells?
No.
Which is...
Doesn't that kind of negate the point of weights? Just use a lighter weight.
Oh, dear.
There is
James.
Now,
but why is he the only one doing this? The others aren't doing it.
Well, there's one guy's really in it.
One's really going for it.
Oh, yeah.
One of them looks a bit embarrassed. Like,
fair play.
Is this tantra they're doing?
I've got no idea, mate. I have no idea. But,
they're getting in touch with their manliness, aren't they? A lot, like their
something. There's a lot
of stuff I've seen before.
There's a lot of testosterone in that video.
Yes, there really is.
So this strikes me as something because I've met James O'Connor a few times. He's an absolutely lovely bloke. Actually, so is Danny Cipriani, who I've spoken to many times now, and they're both lovely blokes. But this is the sort of activity you could only get away with if you are very senior in your club and nobody tells you what to do hardly ever, because there's no way that Phil could get away with this. I mean, me and you would destroy him. You know, there's no way. It's the kind of activity you've got to be right at the top of the tree to engage in, because no academy boys are doing that, and they're definitely not going to be putting it on their Instagram.
No.
That is for certain.
Yeah, they'd be doing it in stealth.
What are you doing, mate? Nothing.
Wow.
In fact, they'd probably lie about watching porn on their phones before saying that they were... I was watching...
Just some porn. Just making the most of the super fast Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they'd rather say that than I went to a meditation retreat. So, yeah, that's what they've been up to.
You can imagine... Well, maybe they'll be so into it. And because, I suppose, in Danny Cipriani's case, he is top of the tree at Gloucester.
100% he is.
He'll go back and sort of go, lads, come on, everyone, in huddle. Let's go. Let's go.
No.
All of us, let's go.
Just imagine the South African lads there really getting on board with that.
Oh,
Ackerman would give him a clip round the ear, wouldn't he?
Well, it is. It's funny, isn't it, how these cultures develop. Like, you know, when Stuart Lancaster was involved, for instance, his culture was signing shirts. You know, you got to write a message on your shirt. And like, if everyone buys into it, you don't want to be the only guy not to write, you know, the message about your mum on the T-shirt. It's just, so there is something in that. If these lads come back and say, you know, we've got to, you know, get together and move like panthers, and then after Panther Hour, we're going to get together and, you know, be really thoughtful about the earth. People are going to have to do it.
Well, Jay, if you start doing it, you know what's going to happen. The culture will infuse across me and Tim.
Yeah, because how many people are on board with Negroni culture now?
In Negroni culture. Yeah. Well,
now that is a far easier culture to get on board with.
And far more challenging,
well,
frankly.
I don't know. Yeah, far more challenging, yeah. It's easier to get on board with, and it is more challenging. I don't know why we didn't think of this, but we should have come out with an Egg Chasers range of Negroni Father's Day packs. There's a lot of people that have enjoyed their Negroni on Father's Day, Matt Hull being one in Detroit, downtown Detroit.
Oh, fair play.
Father's Day Negroni. Ali Baxter, Finding Cotton, I beg your pardon, found a barrel-aged Negroni.
I'm not sure that's necessary.
Yeah. I mean, you just mix them. There's no real benefit. If anything, it's going to change the taste because you're going to get infusion. It depends what type of barrel it is. In which case,
it's not a Negroni, then.
If it's a oak barrel or it's a former sherry cask barrel, you're going to be changing the complexity of the drink. So yeah. I'm not for that.
Absolutely not.
Ryan Lunan found that coffee... beer, ristretto Negroni, coffee Negroni, ale. And Matt Skeets got his Father's Day gift was a Negroni kit and a Harlequin's cap.
Oh, that is thoughtful. Very thoughtful.
They obviously knew he was an Egg Chasers listener and thought, well, there's only one thing an Egg Chasers listener needs, except for tickets to the live show.
Correct.
Did you mention Matt Skeets on Twitter?
Just then.
The Pizza Express Negroni.
Pizza Express Negroni.
It's got Prosecco in it, so it doesn't count.
Yes, exactly.
My dear friend Paul Godfrey from the Pilot Episodes pod nearly made the same mistake of getting a Negroni in a Pizza Express only to find out there was Prosecco in it.
Oh.
No, That is not a Negroni.
That wouldn't be. That would be slightly sweeter. That wouldn't be as horrendously bitter.
That's an Aperol Spritz ruined by adding Campari and sweet red vermouth.
Yeah, correct. Quite.
Hey, there was some rugby this weekend, boys. 15 minutes into a rugby podcast.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we talked about rugby players. So it's kind of, you know, everything we've talked about is related to rugby.
I guess it is, Tim. I guess it is. Top 14 final happened.
Yes.
And, I really enjoyed it.
It was a good game. It was a very entertaining game. It was not the highest standard. It wasn't the highest standard of rugby. It was brilliantly physical. There's some amazing players on show. I can't help but think that neither team executed the game plan as well as they would have done.
Yeah.
Clermont, for example, their kicking game at times was just not good enough.
To me, this was the best game of level 8 rugby I've ever seen. So,
better than Toc H.
No, it's not that good. Well, no, Toc H are literally better coached than both these teams. Like, I would back our line out against both of them. I mean, that is a genuine comment.
I'd love to see that.
They literally had no idea come line out of time. But the reason I say it's the best level 8 game, they're obviously immense players. So when you talk about the world-class touches, well, it's world-class individuals.
Yeah.
But the world-class individuals playing level 8 rugby in the sense that, yeah, sure, they get together on Tuesdays and they run a rangy and they run like miss one. And they've got a handful of
Gregan Ball.
Yeah, Gregan. That obviously made an appearance. They operate twin towers in line-out defence.
Yeah.
And that's basically all that they do. I mean, like, there isn't much in the way of subtlety to how these two teams played. But I tell you what, rugby is so much better for the fact that Clermont and Toulouse are top of the tree again.
Yeah. Love the teams, and they are so well supported.
Yeah,
the fans, Les Gens, the Clermont fans are incredible. But the Toulouse fans, you see the Toulouse team, their celebration, the sing song with Mola after the game.
I can't say I did actually.
Awesome, really good. There's a few good videos of it on Twitter.
Well,
worth watching.
If there's an impact on the Premiership, it'll be on Leicester. Leicester needs to look at Toulouse and work out how a club who used to be great now become great again. And look at Toulouse.
After a long time of not being great. Was it first win in 9 years?
About that. I think 8 years ago they might have won it.
Well,
I think.
They've got good coaches and they spent a shit ton of money.
Yeah, but everyone does. You know, it's like saying, Lance Armstrong trains hard, he's a good cyclist, and he had a load of drugs. Like, they all had a load of drugs. So that sort of levels itself out. I mean, you know, there are teams like Lyon who are spending...
Yeah, you're right. Like, it turned, like, after the Ben Johnson got done for anabolic steroids and got stripped of his gold medal at the Seoul Olympics in 1988, it turns out, years later, there was only one person in that lineup that wasn't.
Did he get all three medals?
Well, no, he was the only one that got banned.
They go down so far and then they just stop.
Oh, do they?
Because like, it turns out...
This is ridiculous. Yes,
I think
like
after he retired, Carl Lewis was found to have been a drugs cheat.
Was he?
Yeah. After he retired, Linford Christie was found to have been a drugs cheat. Or yep. on his
no, last race, wasn't it? But mind you, it's always your last race if you get caught at the race.
Exactly.
So it's like
the thought was they were all on it. So I get your point, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've all got cash and so on and so forth.
But Toulouse have brought through some genuine world-class young players.
Dupont is electric, isn't he?
But he phenomenal. Came through from Cast.
Oh, well, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Ramos has come through the loose head by... he's come through Toulouse. Young French prop.
I mean, who knew Cheslin Colby's name a year or so ago?
Yeah, well...
Yeah, certainly not the same.
But also, like, the old guys who are still playing. Medard is still playing.
I saw a stat. This can't be right. He's the first person ever in a top 14 final to score 2 tries.
Is that right? Well, I thought he was on for a hat-trick at one point.
I would have thought top 14 finals would be historically low scoring. So
yeah.
It might be.
Yeah, I love this game.
And did he do that celebration again where he gave away his shorts? I think he just loves strutting around in his pants.
Yeah.
He's so hot though, isn't he? Like, yeah.
He'd do really well in Love Island, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He'd be such a bad boy.
I love it when he scores. I love, because obviously, you know, I love winding people up a little bit occasionally. I love how much Twitter hates him too. They hate him so much, but he's so good. It's ironic, actually, because he's also good in the air. And I say ironic because he was so bad at fullback against, was it Wales and England?
Both, yeah.
Did they move him by then?
He definitely played against England when he was just, there was like 50 yards of space in every single direction from where the ball was bouncing against England.
He's a good player. He's a very, very good player, actually.
It was interesting because Ouzé and Médard have obviously both played fullback for France. Médard more successfully than Ouzé, but they picked Colby at fullback, and he was.
Did they? I didn't even notice that.
He was really solid under the high ball.
Yeah, I mean,
admittedly, there were some poor kicks from Clermont.
They're poor kick. I mean, even the good play was bad play in a way. So Toulouse did this thing where they were picking and going, and the ball's getting gradually slower, and then they stop in the opposition 10, right? Like, can you imagine a Premiership team doing this? They've stopped in the opposition 10, and then Dupont is organising the team, and it looks like an exit strategy. It looks like an exit box kick, and then everyone stops, and they're waiting for the box kick. The box kick goes up, and they're chasing it like they're trying to exit their own 22, and Ouzé nearly catches the thing. And the other one was when Ouzé scores in the corner. I'm not sure exactly what the call was, but it looked to me like everyone drift five metres. They all just drifted into each other's space. And in the end, Ouzé had about a yard of space to score, max. He still got in, obviously. But yeah, it's just it's a bizarre way that they play over.
Were their blazers worn? Did you notice any blazers?
Peter de Villiers had an outfit on which was related to his club. I think he's at Stad still, isn't he?
No, but I mean the players. Was that just Racing that used to did that?
No, the Racing do the blazers pre-game.
Pre-game.
Yeah.
With their kit. Awesome. Their kit with blazers on.
Some of the non-playing Clermont team were in blazers because Morgan Parra, they shot to him on the sidelines a few times because he was injured. Mm. And he was in quite smart, like white shirt and blue blazer, I seem to think.
Mm. Blue blazer, yellow, dark navy blue, yellow piping. Was it?
I didn't.
They don't do piping in France, do they?
No, I think it was very traditional. Slim lapels, nice tailored fit.
Nice.
Just thinking about this game. Okay, so at the time of watching it, I was like, "This is amazing. I'm loving this. Loads of scrums, loads of tight play around the edges. It was brilliant." I thought, like, these are two best teams in France, and they're pretty ace. Now you could easily pick a French team, a French 15, out of these two teams.
Yeah.
Now you see where I'm going here, right? But then, think about it. Do you think that they are good enough? Like, the way that they played that game, they're good enough to worry England even if they played to their potential?
So, one of the most disappointing things was, in the last few weeks, we've spoken about just how talented Penaud and Raka are. They never got the ball.
Oh, Raka did nothing.
Neither of them did. The best run that Penaud had was in the 81st minute when Clermont needed a converted try to win the game. They were trying to play out from just outside their own 22. They got him on a loop, and he beat one or two men, but then got held up by three men, tried to offload.
Yes, he did.
That was, I was thinking back, that was the only time I saw him.
I think right at the start he had a little bit of a dash, but not much.
So, Clermont, you've got two of the most dangerous wingers in the world. Like, definitely two of the most dangerous wingers in the world. They could not bring them into the game.
I mean, yeah, they're dangerous. And they're dangerous depending on what you do with them, I guess.
Well, yeah, but like, if you do nothing with them, they're dangerous.
But, like, you know, as dangerous as Colby, who wasn't playing wing, obviously, and Ouzé, who just is in the right place at the right time.
They're equally dangerous, I would say, if you use them the right way. I don't think either team particularly used their danger men well, to the point where Ouzé's second try, they almost blew that.
Yeah, didn't they?
Every single man drifted 4 or 5
yards. It was amazing. Well, it was
ate up the space. You're like, they're going to blow this.
Do they do analysis? Do they know what they're doing?
Massive overlap, and every man just drifted.
It was like watching under eights, Tim. It really was.
Or it was like watching, what was the team that blatantly, I'm not going to libel myself. It looked very, very suspicious that they managed to somehow give away a 4 in the Cricket World Cup against Bangladesh.
Was it Pakistan against
Bangladesh?
Or was it Afghanistan? I'm not sure.
No, against Afghanistan. No, it was against a team like that. And it was a little prod. It was a little tiny prod, the sort of forward nudge. And the bowler somehow managed to, it appeared Like, they should have been able to pick it up. But instead of picking it up, he didn't fumble it. He managed to sort of, in the process of fumbling it, he managed to make the ball go faster towards the boundary. He managed to throw it.
Speed it up.
And then two different fielders, like in comedy fashion.
One dives over, and the other dives over the top.
It's like when you're with your kid and you're sort of letting them win. Oh, you scored.
You're doing them no favours there, too.
No, I didn't say I did. No chance.
But Toulouse actually scored, so, yeah.
They did. They almost blew it, but they did.
Although, I tell you what, a match fixing scandal around Ouzé would only make me like him more.
Did you watch anyone watch any other rugby?
Oh, yeah, I watched the Bulls versus the Lions.
What's the semi finals for the. The Super Rugby.
Quarterfinals.
What are they?
Bulls versus Lions was interesting because...
Was this the quarterfinals just gone?
No, this was determining the quarterfinals. But in this game, had the Bulls not won, Sharks could have been finished top of the South African Conference.
Top?
Sorry, second behind Jaguares. Top of the South African teams. And Lions could have also finished top, depending on what else happened. That was quite an interesting game.
So, yeah, that'll be played at 11 p.m. The Jaguars game will be 11 p.m. next week.
Quarterfinals.
Crusaders finish in top, host the Highlanders, so all New Zealand. Then Jaguares, for finishing top of the South African Conference, for travelling more miles than anyone else.
And getting second, and the second ranked overall.
Second overall, despite being in the South African Conference, have the distinct displeasure of hosting the Chiefs. So that is not an easy game for
Jaguares. How good are the Chiefs now? I don't know.
Seventh best.
Or eighth in Super Rugby. Yeah, eighth best.
Yeah, but it doesn't really work like that, does it? Because like the New Zealand Conference, historically, it's been so bloody good.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are a very, very good team. They can beat anyone on their day. Let's put it that way.
I'll watch that game. I'll actually make the effort and watch it.
So there's that game. There is my beloved Hurricanes host the Bulls, which the Bulls... The Bulls did look good. They scored 48 points against the Lions.
Yeah. They scored a ridiculous amount of points before half time. There's like 19 minutes where a million tries came in. Interesting one here. You know, as far as I can find out, it's the only Super Rugby game which has not had a scrum in the first half of rugby.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a single scrum. There were knock-ons, but they were just played to advantage.
Ah. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play, indeed.
I'd love to see what the ball in play time for that first half was.
I have no idea.
Yeah, high.
I bet that was really high.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls needed to win. Both teams needed to score tries as well.
And maybe I'm getting soft in my old age, but I was watching this game, I was thinking, bloody hell, these breakdowns are brutal. Like, I thought they were much tougher than the Premiership. How hard they hit, but like the little cheap niggly shots, the occasional shoulder into the head. I looked a lot more aggressive than
stuff.
The Premier. Yeah, all the things you enjoy.
You are getting a bit soft, but it's something that was also it popped up on rugby Twitter sphere quite a lot this week.
Did it?
People being really outraged, not that, but people being really outraged about a World Rugby Under 20s Championship a clean out.
I was torn on that. Actually.
Which nation?
I love
was
the way
it?
They call it torpedoed. By the way,
it was torpedoed.
Yeah. It was torpedoed.
Italy player versus an island player.
Yeah, so the island player got injured.
Yeah.
In the process. The Italy player, it was an amazing clean out. It was absolutely beautiful, except it was in the side. It wasn't one where it was head contact.
Yeah.
It was absolutely...
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like,
well, 45 degree angle, something like that.
Yeah. To me, it was almost within the range of tolerances. Yeah,
I know, exactly. But my point being, what you just did there with saying, I'm saying that's growing because that, which was, it was like, oh, that might have been a penalty for slightly in at the side, became outrage. So this needs to be stopped from the game. This is outrageous.
So the question is, right, for me, if you're watching a clean out, because if you're going to approach clean out, you don't want to go head on. You want to go head on, step out and come in. So even though your running line towards it is in, you're effectively sort of trying to create an angle anyway. But if you imagine if you came in from the angle originally, you'd probably get pinged. Does that make sense? Because it feels like you're coming in from the side. I think that's what you did.
And that was one of my takeaways from this, is from that particular incident, and in relation to the broader point of what you mentioned, is when people go straight through the gate at the player who is in that jackal position, clearly not supporting their own body weight, where the only target is their shoulder and head, and they make head contact, everyone's up in arms, And then when someone avoids the head...
they're up in arms.
Oh, they're up in arms. My point being, this is going to be the next one. As we predicted, it will never stop with high tackles. This is the next one, and then there'll be another one, and then there'll be another one.
This was a horrific-looking injury.
Oh, yeah. It was a really bad-looking injury,
and
yeah.
There's been a number of similar injuries.
Dan Levy.
John de Villiers, Reece Webb.
That was like a roll, wasn't it? That was a... Well, yeah. Croc roll type thing.
So that there are slight differences, but this kind of in from the side.
It's a bloody brutal sport, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the other thing.
It absolutely is. So this is interesting because you're exactly right. There were people saying disgusting, disgrace, blah, blah, blah. I think if you apply the laws as they currently stand, it's definitely a penalty. That's probably it. In line with the laws now.
Yeah.
And then.
Agreed.
If you start getting more incidents like this because of what are slightly... That is an illegal clear-up, but only because of the angle.
Yeah.
It wasn't the force.
And you can disguise that angle pretty nicely.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't dive off his feet. He bound on. He didn't hit him in the head. But if you continue to get significantly bad injuries, it will be one that's looked at.
But you can preemptively stop this, and we can get to the point where you don't have to stop that breakdown contest if referees ping people straight away when they're not supporting their own body weight.
Yeah.
Dan Levy wasn't when he got injured. CJ Stander, that time that he won that, Munster won that really controversial penalty that had everyone cheesed off.
Yeah.
He was never supporting his own body weight.
Yeah, and this is Edinburgh.
And this,
I was thinking Benetton. Never mind.
Oh, I can't actually.
Oh, sorry, there was that one.
Yeah. I might want to take the Dan Levy one back because I can't actually remember that incident. But this Irish under 20 player, injuries are always unfortunate. But he was never supporting his own body weight.
What I like, right, is the idea that there is a new illegal move, a new underhand thing called the torpedo. I don't know what this is.
It's people rucking the way they've been taught to ruck since rucking was a thing.
Like I say, he's avoided the head, he's come in. Now, the other question I've got to ask is, like, it's a very difficult thing to do, rucking, and not upset people. Because if you don't hit the guy hard enough, it's a penalty. Because he's stealing your ball, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know where they were on the pitch, but 3 points, you know, could be game over. Fine. The other part of this is, if you hit him too hard, you're going to come off your feet. I mean, if you want to ruck completely legally within the laws, within the letter of the law, it's really, really difficult.
But there is a difference between just, I'm going to use the word, torpedoing, diving straight off your feet,
yeah,
and hitting someone, taking a step forward, and then them falling
just
back.
Just so hard. The point I'm trying to make is, it's so hard to judge the amount of force that you need. And also, if someone is really, really over that ball, and they're a strong boy, maybe the only thing you can do is dive off your feet in order to create enough force that you actually stay on your feet, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, I know what you're saying.
It kind of does, but you're taking a massive risk because you're assuming the level of force coming back.
Even if I'm going in hard, really hard, not diving off my feet, really hard, and the target I hit is really soft, I'm coming off my feet. You know, I'm just trying to point out, it's a really difficult skill.
So, once again, rather than having all the mud being slung the way of players who, for the most part, are doing stuff in good faith and with, generally speaking, reasonable technique, or at least technique that is 99 times out of 100 is fine and let go. On the one time out of 100 when it really hurts someone, you then, you know, want to throw the book at them. Actually, referees ping players when they're not supporting their own body weight, or when a player looks like he's jackled it and won, just ping it straight away. Either way, just...
Or let them rock and
accept that they're going to get injured. Yeah. Have injuries. I'm okay with that as well. Yeah.
And with all that said,
yes,
I really hope that Ireland under-20s player.
Of course,
it looked like a very, very bad injury.
It did look really bad.
So I hope he's back on his feet soon.
Absolutely. Speaking of the World Rugby Under-20s Championship, they are on terrestrial TV. It's worth finding out tomorrow night or Monday night, as probably tonight, as you listen to this.
How is this
ITV4?
And how has this tournament developed? Who are the runners and riders?
Well, for only the second time in the competition's history, New Zealand haven't made the semi-finals.
Mm. Excellent.
The semi-finals are, Phil?
Give me 1 second. I'm just frantically looking around. England haven't made them as well.
No.
Didn't think they would.
Semi-finals are... So Argentina, the hosts Australia.
Mm.
Who England beat fairly handily after an Australian player was red carded in the 6th or 8th minute, something like that.
Good.
And South Africa host France.
Ooh,
that'll be tasty.
Think France can do it Twice in a row?
Twice in a row.
Who's the number eight? Joseph.
Jordan Joseph.
Jordan Joseph is a test-ready player right now.
He is an impressive specimen.
But didn't they say that about Demba Bamba? And yeah, I guess he was a test-ready player. So, that, yeah, there's that.
It depends what your standard is. If your standard is the level... Well, you're playing test. Do you want someone who's going to come in and perform at, I don't know, a Billy Vunipola level or a Dan Bigger type level? Or do you want someone to come in and perform a Yohan Uge against England type level?
Good question.
You know how Maro Itoji went from World Rugby Under-20s Championship to then really standing, looking the part for Saracens to looking the part for England? I think Jordan Joseph is on the same sort of trajectory.
It'd be interesting though, because a club like Racing, they spend so much money. Mm. How much game time is he going to get?
Yeah, but when you get a real talent, you sort of just put them in anyway.
Well, he's hardly played for them this year. I know he's only probably 19 now.
Yeah, but how much did Itoji play when he was 19? I mean, not a tremendous amount.
No, once he started playing, that was it.
No, I mean, I remember talking to, we met Jack Berger in BT. He's like, yeah, this guy's going to play this week. He's amazing. And then he didn't play again.
He was Anglo-Welsh Cup captain, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then they brought him in slowly.
But then once he was in the first team,
he
was never out of it. If I was,
it feels like he's been around for years now.
As an English club.
Well, he wasn't in the World Cup squad, was he?
No. He was in the wider squad, I think.
He got into the training squad 51. Before the World Cup.
Yeah.
He was 20 then. If I was an English club, I would say to Jordan Joseph, I'll get you game time. I will play you every week, or we'll have a managed playing time.
That's you, Leicester.
Okay. So what happens when he says, brilliant, where do I pick up my 400 grand? What happens at that point?
He won't be on 400 grand in France.
He'll be on a lot of money. He won't be on 400 grand, you're right.
He will not be on 400 grand.
But
I think you could get a very good deal by picking him up.
How much do you reckon you could pick him up for?
Less than 200.
No chance.
Yeah.
No chance. Easy.
And it'd be nice for JB to flick from ITV over to ITV4 from ITV2, which is where you're spending most of your time at the minute.
Exactly.
Is what it is, though, right?
Is what it is. Exactly right. there's been some transfers-ish.
Has there?
A couple.
Did we talk? I'm sure we spoke about Paolo
Doggers.
We didn't speak about, which I only found out this week when he was on a video with Dean Ryan, is Sam Davis has gone to the Dragons.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal.
No, it doesn't.
I think it is, because the reason I say that is, do these silly interviews that they do, and there's 10 formulated questions, and one of the questions is always, who's the most skillful player that you've ever played with? Almost all of the guys who play Ospreys that do these interviews always say Sam Davis. And then, obviously, he got into the Welsh team, he's been injured. But the guy's a really good player.
He's been offered a bit more money.
I don't know what happened. Well, obviously, Ospreys went from being, gone, extinct, to then getting Anscombe, and then obviously there was no more room for him.
He wanted to sample a different culture.
Exactly what happened. Exactly what happened.
Done with Swansea, so I want Newport.
Apparently he was looking to go to England, but the Welsh jersey called, which also makes me think, if a region lets you go, I think you should be allowed to go. If they offer you a contract, then maybe
Josh Adams, for example.
Yeah.
Scarlett's had a chance. They didn't. Therefore, he should be able to play wherever he wants and still play for Wales.
Exactly right. If they let you go, they let you go. I don't think it's fair to say, actually, you can go to the worst club on earth now. Do you want to go there? Well, if you don't, you can't play for Wales. So, up to you. So, I just thought I'd mention that.
I was in your fine principality this weekend in North Wales. Gorgeous weather. It was camping. I was dreading it because I thought it was going to be just torrential the whole time.
Where did you go?
Just on a little place by Lake Bala.
Oh, lovely.
It was gorgeous.
Right in the interior.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Lots of Welsh speakers.
Good weather.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
It's been horrendous.
It was lovely, yeah. I mean, it was booked with about five, six other families. And I think everyone else was they didn't want to be the family that said, should we not go?
Because it's
but the second one other family had said, should we not go? Everyone would have gone, oh, okay, well, if you think so, then fine.
Yeah, if the weather's looking too bad.
No one did. So we all turned up, I think, thinking, oh, God. And then it was amazing.
Oh, good to hear.
Gorgeous.
Did you see the prehistoric fish?
Prehistoric fish?
Yeah, it's prehistoric fish in Lake Bala. They're the only place that they exist.
Really?
But, yeah, that's why it's like a protected conservation zone.
Ah, well, it's beautiful anyway.
Yeah, and they're delicious. Anyway.
I've got a mate that owns a lake with carp in, and there were, apparently that's like a real delicacy in like,
Poland.
In Poland, yeah. So we had Polish people fishing it, and
the same happens at Chorlton Waterpark.
Is there carp in there?
There was carp in there.
There was, but they
not anymore.
Yeah, they're like
that used to happen.
It's like 1,500 quid for a carp. Like a big carp, yeah. They're really expensive. It's like better weight than like cost weight than gold in some. It was obviously not. Yeah, literally. Well, it wasn't far off.
That's why they catch them and put them back because they're quite valuable. Yeah. There's a guy who plays for Stockport. He's their hooker and going to be our hooker one of these days. And he's like the British champion at course fishing. Or he's in the British finals for course fishing.
I'm glad you see. He brought it back to rugby. That's good. Yeah. Like via a Stockport hooker. Good.
We did mention the signing.
Doggers,
which was announced last week. I don't think we mentioned it last week, but it was followed by Zach
Kibirigi. He's also another very, very fast, exciting player.
Two talented, high potential wingers. So obviously no Christian Wade there anymore, but you got two guys who could. Yeah. At least partly fill his boots.
Yeah. Paolo is superbly powerful. Like, he can bounce props, he can bounce anything in front of him.
He's a serious rump. Yes. Low centre of gravity.
He's got an Exeter Chiefs rump.
I tell you what, he'll be a really good signing if he gets more game time. I mean, he was scoring tries in the Premiership before Sale got a million wingers, like 2 years ago, when he's 18.
Yeah.
So he'll be fine. Kibirigi, I've not really seen enough of. I mean, no. You've probably seen a bit more of him.
Yeah, no, he's a talented guy. We're good open field runner.
Yeah.
He can beat. He's one of those small guys that manages to beat, somehow power his way through tackles and things. So, yeah, he'll be good. And with Josh Bassett and Marcus Watson, that's a decent.
Decent potential.
Without
isn't
being elite, that's pretty strong.
Well, the first two, like. High-end Premiership guy, the Premiership guys, aren't they?
Well, actually, when you look at that, that's two fringe Premiership players, someone that's a solid Premiership player having got from the Championship, and a sevens guy turned 15s guy. So, high potential in all cases.
Yeah, we're also forgetting the guy that they brought in. It was announced a long time ago. Who's coming to replace Willie LaRue? Totally different type of player, but very, very exciting.
Italian Minozzi.
No, Fekitoa.
Minozzi. Fekitoa will be coming to play to replace Elliot Daly.
Minozzi could be fantasy rugby draft gold.
Matteo Minozzi.
Minozzi,
who I think he was injured for the whole Six Nations this year, but the previous year's Six Nations, he was one of the most exciting players in the whole tournament.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Dynamite.
He'll go first round fantasy rugby draft.
He will
no.
Know.
Oh no, because he'll be going to the World Cup.
Yeah, he won't go first.
Not for long.
he'll be a good pickup. He'll be a good kind of like not sleeper, but you can get some value out of him, I think.
All right, stand by, boys, stand by. Who wants to start off with the latest on Paddy Jackson?
Come on then, we were talking bad boys earlier, weren't we?
Yeah.
Let's very quickly before we get onto that. Elton Yanchis is in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, why?
He broke curfew when he was after a win. He broke curfew and rolled back into his hotel at 4:30 in the morning, where the CEO Rudolf Strauli saw him in the foyer, as a result, his contract offer has been retracted. But there's more to this story.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, I know what question you're going to ask. Yeah. Exactly, it's the one I was thinking. Go on.
Why was the CEO in the lobby at 4:30?
Presumably, he was probably knocking back some Steinbach.
Something. Maybe he's just waiting for his star fly half /12 to come home.
Yeah, well, anyway, so they've retracted the contract offer, so that's one to be watched.
That's a little bit harsh, isn't it? I mean, unless he's got history and... Hang on. No, it is harsh, right? Because you offer a contract to someone based on, you know, the overall performance. You've known the guy for many, many years now, and you've got a body of work, and you said, right, I'm offering you this contract based on all of this. To change it on the basis of a night out sounds a little bit different.
Is it the straw that broke the camel's back?
There is also... So there's... In South African Rugby Magazine, they are reporting he also broke team protocols when he went against on-field captain Quagga Smith's orders on the pitch. Now, there's no more details than this, than that, but that is like, he he said go for the corner and he goes for the post, or he says go for the post, go for the corner, something like that.
Oh, if only Elton Yanchis was wearing an England shirt in the 2015 World Cup against Wales.
And also, as mentioned, Quagga Smith allegedly is off to Edinburgh. Mm. Oh, that's a bloody good back row if that happens.
Interesting. But
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, Paddy Jackson. So, Paddy Jackson's signing was announced a while ago. Mm-hmm. Now, Diageo, who are the parent company who own, which of which one of their brands is Guinness,
yep,
who are long-time supporters, 30-year relationship with London Irish, always part of their St. Patrick's Day game, which is, you know, the Medeski Stadium's quite often mostly empty. Paddy's Day is a great day out at the Medeski Stadium. They have ended their relationship because they feel that the message which signing by Paddy Jackson sends is not consistent with their brand values.
They could have made this known before, couldn't they? I mean,
or more's the point, you would have thought that there must have been sales directors, high level management, just smoothing this over well in advance of announcing any signing, which I'm sure that must have been happening.
I mean, this can't mean this can't mean the bars at the Medeski and soon to be the Brentford Stadium will not sell Guinness.
Oh yeah,
surely.
Get the Caffreys back.
Yeah, I mean, surely that
Murphy's Irish Stout.
Yeah,
that surely that can't be what it means.
I'm sure they, like any bar, can buy Guinness to sell in their establishment.
And they weren't the main team sponsor, Power Day are, but yep, they were one of the sub sponsors, one of the
so Guinness corporate sponsors. Be on the shoulder or arse or wherever it was on the shirt.
Fine. I mean, it's sad. Shorts. It's sad because, you know, you kind of associate Guinness with, you know, well, tragic life stories, of course, and rampant alcoholism. But, you know, morals aside, you do actually associate them with Irish sport. And I think it's a bit sad that they decided to go this way. It's a bit daft by London Irish not to have seen this coming. And like Tim said, smooth this over before it happens.
Yeah.
Head it off at the pass.
Or at least manage. And then if they knew, do you know what? The consequence of signing Paddy Jackson is we are going to lose this sponsor. Then they could have managed the release of that information and the way that was, that was done.
And they have a decision to make then as well.
Yeah.
Paddy Jackson is or certainly was a good player. How much do they need the... I've no idea what the sponsorship deal's worth.
The Diageo one is quite small.
Yeah, a quarter of £1 million or £500,000.
I've got no idea.
It's an amount of money, but they can at least have... If you have those conversations, you can make the decision.
JB. The problem with it coming out in the way it has, and this is the concern I think I read in the rugby paper today, which is exactly what I initially thought, is the remaining sponsors... Do they then start thinking, oh God, if we stay, does that mean people think we're endorsing?
Are we associated?
Yeah, because that's what it means. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because, they sort of fall like dominoes, you would assume.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because who's the other one? Cash Converters.
Let me talk about Cash Converters for a second.
That was apparently before the Paddy Jackson thing.
Yeah.
Converters who have, I don't know the exact figure, but... APR in the hundreds, if not thousands.
Right, yeah. So Cash Converters is a shop I'm fairly familiar with because there's one in Oldham and I walk past it every day. Now, if they haven't done this, has this just come to an end or have they done it because of Paddy Jackson?
A relationship came to an end before.
Oh, well, okay. If that's just happened, fine. I was going to mention the ethics behind Cash Converters, which are somewhat ropey. But if it's just come to an end, well, so be it. No case to answer.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's more likely. Oh, no, that's the stated reason.
More likely. In a way, you know, the ultimate freedom for London Irish is if all the sponsors pulled out. Because what people don't understand about rugby, and football for that matter, and Phil's brought it up in the past, is that these teams aren't there to make money. They very rarely make money. In fact, in the case of football, they constantly lose money because the football club is there to promote the owner's interests rather than the club's interests. See us with rugby too, you know, it's basically a rich man's plaything. So if it doesn't make any money, so what? They were never going to, you know, it's just what they've done. Except for Wasps. Wasps are the exceptions to this because it's...
It's so highly leveraged.
Yeah, well, it's about a third of Derek Richards' wealth. So, you know, it's a big deal.
There is always a tipping point, though. People can only stomach losing so much money
for so long. Yeah, yeah. I completely agree with that. But if they all pulled out, they'd get on the phone to Israel Folau. You get on the phone to every bad boy rugby player that you could get hold of and go and win the league.
Well, most of them are at Sale at the moment. Yeah, James O'Connor.
Yeah, well, they're all reformed and they're all lovely, lovely individuals.
So there was one talk. So the Paddy Jackson to Sale and Stuart Holding, I think, were very, very strongly rumoured. Yeah. And then it was thought that it was Sale's sponsor. The rumour was that UK Fast said, no, you can't. And that's why Sale ended their interest.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of that. But, you know, if that was the case, it shows kind of how you need to deal with your big corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
Because those, you know, those guys that you mentioned, their relation to Sale, are very, very important partners.
Absolutely. Very important. Absolutely. As is Qantas to Rugby Australia.
Yeah.
Which is why they decided to cancel someone. Because, you know, the importance of that corporate sponsorship. Had Rugby Australia had no corporate sponsors, it would be fascinating to know what situation Israel Folau would be in right now.
Yeah, probably
still. I suspect it would be a very different situation.
I suspect
if there was
so
no
too.
Corporate. But Rugby Australia don't have the benefit of a rich benefactor.
Yes,
no, exactly.
That is a
yeah.
big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, huge difference.
Although I've said this a million times, right? If I had lots and lots of money, you know the team that I'd buy?
You would buy Sale Sharks.
After Sale Sharks and after RGC. After that, the international team I'd buy, and I believe I could do it.
Barbarians.
No. I'd go and buy Fiji, right? I reckon that their brand name is so strong that you could make your money back on this romantic team and then sell merchandise. And also,
Harlem Globetrotter them around the world.
Pretty much,
movie rights for the Olympic medal win.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you think about New Zealand, that is not a big market team, but it's a very, very valuable brand.
Well,
yeah.
The fact that Amazon Prime have done those two documentaries, Manchester City and the All Blacks.
Exactly yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah, someone with a bit of cash and a bit of vision should go and buy Fiji.
Question, before we move off the Paddy Jackson, which has been more expensive to London Irish, getting relegated or signing Paddy Jackson?
Relegation by far. So far, it's relegation. But we don't know where this is all going to lead. But do you know what? I can't help but think that they've misjudged the public mood on this because Paddy Jackson is ultimately innocent, right? That's what people seem to forget. He is innocent. He's been away to France and he's come back. And, you know, there's a lot of uproar by a very, very small but noisy minority. And if you actually look at, you know, the comments and the message boards and the rest of it, they're all kind of like, okay, we're not completely comfortable with his attitude, but we're not asking him to raise our kids. We're asking him to play fly half, and I think they might have misjudged the public slightly. I've got a feeling that this one's over now.
I don't totally disagree with that. I think it is worth reiterating he was found not guilty in his court case,
mm-hmm.
and that's important because that is fact, and that, you know, none of us would want to be judged as guilty by the court of opinion, even if a judge or a jury had ruled differently. And equally, whilst I don't condone and I don't have anything like those WhatsApp messages, which as it were a PR disaster for him and Stuart Holding, equally, well, I would be mortified if my private WhatsApp messages were made public.
Yep, 100%.
Because there's a huge level of context to a lot of things which, so but that's notwithstanding the fact, I can understand, totally understand why people think that was
the amount of
really out of order.
On my WhatsApp group to throw my Labrador into a wood chipper. I mean, I would be locked up for animal cruelty within minutes, I think. Minutes.
All out of context.
Well, is it?
But so. The point that we made at the time about the the Paddy Jackson, Stuart Alden case, they were found not guilty. They do not come out of this well.
No, not
they,
at all.
They came out of this so, so badly because even though nothing was proven, they just looked in the past like arrogant.
Well, they were
scumbags.
Yeah, scumbags. Scumbags is, without going into the detail, they look like scumbags.
They look like scumbags. Yeah. They do. And so I'm not trying to defend there was any of it.
There was an interesting Sam Roberts article this week about...
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought he really thought it through.
It's quite thought-provoking about Bad Boys. He started off with Sammy Rhys, the supremely talented potential New Zealand or potential Fiji outside back who's tearing it up for Crusaders at the moment. Who had some domestic violence issues that blocked his journey to Connacht a couple of years ago, and talking about being contrite and regretting your decisions and making amends. And it would be nice to think it would be horrible to think that Stuart Alden and Paddy Jackson do not regret. I'm certain they do. It would be nice to see them have the opportunity to make amends and continue their life.
Yeah, it's really tricky, that, isn't it? Because you sort of look at other walks of life. Take politics, for example. Actually, if you apologise, and this is why I agree, contrition and regret and remorse and redemption are important. But we're almost at a point now where...
Don't do it. It's not worth it.
If you apologise, you actually make things worse. Because the reaction isn't, oh, you know what? I'm glad to see you're regretting and trying to learn, trying to make amends. Actually, it's, well, but why did you do it in the first place? Yeah. And if you don't say anything, it eventually goes away. Look at Donald Trump. That's his whole tactic.
Trump, there is just so much mud on the walls. Well, how do you pin him down to any one thing?
But as a result, the people that you get in the public eye now, you get scumbags. You get people that don't regret.
Yeah, don't.
And the people that do regret and try and apologise, they get cancelled. Sorry.
Well, someone who's not been cancelled. Yeah. Warren Gatland is official.
The third series.
What? Yeah. I couldn't believe this was an announcement because we all knew.
I know.
Yeah,
knew.
I felt it had already been announced.
Yeah,
didn't you?
So did I.
Do you know, like when people die and you think they're already dead? It's like, oh. So, Gatland is Lions coach.
Again.
Brilliant.
Good.
Just brilliant.
Yeah. He said he will definitely 100% not be the next England coach.
But then did you watch the full interview? Because then he actually softened. He got asked...
Oh, that's England.
He got asked... England. He had his fingers crossed. He said under his breath, England women's coach.
I will not be the new England coach. The new England coach?
New England. The Patriots.
Yeah. I will not be coaching any Patriots.
But he did soften slightly and said, my focus is definitely not on England at the moment. Or words to that effect.
Come on, Warren, take the England job.
Interesting.
Very interesting indeed.
But a very good appointment. I think everyone is happy with that.
Well, tell you what, I'd love him to win that. I'd love him to win against South Africa. What a record.
With Owen Farrell scoring the winning points.
No, that's not happening.
Marcus Smith.
There's a really interesting article by Twitter God himself, Stuart Barnes. It's a Stuart Barnes article, so take it as what it is. But he pointed out that Alan Wynne-Jones, a bit of careful looking after, could easily be the Lions captain. And I agree with him. I mean, I think he could. Look, if you picked them tomorrow, you probably would have him, right? Is that outrageous?
Yeah, no, not at all. He was imperious. Tomorrow, he was imperious in the Six Nations.
Yeah. But he's only played 11 non-international games this season. I think...
Too many.
Yeah, too many for him. First of all.
Twice as many as an Irish international would play.
Well, what if he goes to France or England? I mean, that is over. So
yeah.
Dragons for Alan Wynne-Jones?
Well, didn't Gatland also say he's pretty sure he's going to stay at Ospreys? Or someone said that. He's going to sure he's going to stay at Ospreys.
Interesting.
We do laugh at Welsh players and also the way that they like to have a change of scenery. But I can't help but think that at that age... So, would you want to stay in court? I mean, maybe it's family ties and all the rest of it. I don't know. They don't travel well.
Maybe things like kids in school might be a factor. Who knows? Yeah, all sorts of that plays on it, doesn't it?
So he's 34 now. He's 33 right now. He's 34 the week before the World Cup this year. So he will be 36. Coming up for 36 by the time of the next Lions tour. He'll be 35 and three quarters. Now, I think he's won so much. If I were him, I'd be looking at a big, nice, tidy paycheck.
Or
whoever offers me the most money after the World Cup, I will take it.
Or, you know, this is my perpetual moan about Sam Warburton. Everyone thinks I'm mad for saying it. There will always be an asterisk against Sam Warburton for never doing a thing with his club, ever. And club rugby is important. Now, Alan Wynne at least has got a couple of Pro 12 titles to his name.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well,
offer yourself for cheap and then go somewhere with a good chance of winning.
The difference was Sam Warburton was 27, 28. So he could have done that and earned the big payday afterwards.
Well, yeah, but what I would say is, even now, without him being Lions captain again, his value in after dinner speakers, corporate dinners, TV work is going to be off the scale.
Who, Alan Jones?
Alan Jones is going to be right up there with Brian O'Driscoll, like as a sought after work. You know, all these big multinational companies paying you big money. If he manages to get another Lions tour and what would this be? His fourth?
This would be his
fourth. Yeah, it will be. I tell you like, what, if he hop and he goes fifth.
And if they won in South Africa, he could legitimately be like regarded as the greatest Lion. Right up there.
Yeah.
And the value of that could be insane. So maybe if he did a deal with Ospreys, like, yes, fine, pay me less than I'm being offered, but
he has got
manage my games.
Hang on,
he has got nine Lions test caps as well.
Wow.
Nine tests.
I mean, would the deal with the Ospreys be more like, I'll pay you a subscription of 50 quid a month if you let me use your gym, and then, you know, keep me fit for the Wales and the Lions? Yeah.
So it could be like a false economy going and taking the cash if it cost him a Lion spot.
I just
think
if
he could, like, look after himself.
Yeah. I just think that you need...
Keep the meters on the clock.
A couple of good European appearances underneath your belt. And, you know, for everything Sam Warburton has achieved, he's never been in... He might never have played in the Champions Cup. And he certainly never played, played in the knockouts.
Yeah, he never played in semi-finals, finals or anything like that.
Johnny Wilkinson had never played in the Heineken Cup until he moved to Toulon, which is amazing.
That is.
And, you know,
did he not play in... When did they do... Did they not win it in 2000?
No, that was they won the league in the very first league. With the very first.
But, you know, Johnny Wilkinson is a man who's done a lot of very good things, including winning the World Cup. Yeah. And if you were to take away his European achievements, you know, it's nowhere near as impressive. Mind you,
World Cup.
He's got two European Cups back-to-back. Maybe, is it two?
I think he got two, because I think Gitto was there when they won the
Definitely won with Gitto.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying, club rugby matters.
He would still be phenomenally valuable.
Of course, yeah, they all are. Wonder what he does with his time now, because you never see him.
They occasionally wheel him out on ITV.
Do they?
The Six Nations, yeah. And he'll be doing World Cup stuff. 100% he will be. Is that everything?
Sean Long to Quins as a coach.
Oh, that is an interesting signing.
Yes, because I thought he was going to Gloucester.
Yeah, and so he'd been working with Cipriani this season, and he's been credited by some for having the effect that Cipriani has had on Gloucester. So his distribution game and the running lines of the people outside Cipriani, which is a massive part of making Cipriani look so good, is the movement of the people around him. He's been credited with helping that. So that is an interesting appointment for Quins, and probably gives a bit of the rugby league side and a bit of the attacking side that Gustard doesn't have. So I'm really interested, because I think Quins, while the end of their season was very disappointing, their overall season and the trajectory compared to the previous years, particularly the John Kingston era, was significantly improved. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Gustard and Sean Long go.
I mean, you know how I feel about teams with rugby league coaches. They become, best teams with ball in hand. interesting one on Sean Long. He was playing for Oral last year. Level 8, him and Martin Gleeson.
They're playing.
Martin Gleeson's gone to Wasps.
Talk
has he?
Is he gone?
I think he may have gone.
I saw talk of him going somewhere, but I've not seen him.
Sean Long, Gleeson, and there's another fella who
were both playing for Preston Grasshoppers about four or five years ago.
I remember the move to Preston, because didn't he carry the water a little bit for Salford City Reds long? I'm sure he did.
That is seriously niche.
Niche. I watched a game of rugby league this weekend.
Well, better still, I'm interviewing their head of content tomorrow in here in the rugby dungeon.
Head of content for rugby league.
It's basically their version of Paul Morgan, so it's going to be awesome.
Amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, head of content.
I watched the potential legend, Carlin Panga.
Oh, yeah, in the NRL.
Supremely talented Newcastle Knights fullback play against the Melbourne Storm, and he was completely played off the park by a much, much better team. Melbourne Storm hammered them.
Did you see Origin last week?
No, I didn't.
No, I missed that this year.
No.
Just answer me this quick trivia question. Who is the CEO of the Super League?
The Super League?
Steve-O.
Incorrect. Different. This will blow your mind. If you don't know, this will blow your mind.
Of the Super League.
Of the Super League. So, like, you know, the Aviva Premiership has, what's his name? I've forgotten his name now.
He's standing down this year.
Yeah, him.
Yes.
And Martin Agnew is Pro 14 chairman or CEO. So who is the chairman of Super League?
Martin O'Fire.
No.
Ellery Hanley.
Nope.
Kieran Cunningham.
It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Sam Burgess.
Nope.
Mike Ford.
Nope. We're getting close with Mike Ford.
Really?
As in, he's not involved with this. He didn't. He's a sportsman and never played the sport.
Never played rugby league.
Never Clive Woodward.
Nope. It is.
Peter Schmeichel.
Brace yourself for impact.
Ryan Giggs.
Tony Adams. Ex-Arsenal defender.
I did know that. I saw it a while ago.
What?
Yeah. Tony Adams, yeah. He's the CEO of Super League, or chairman, or whatever you want to call him. So yeah. That's what he does.
Why not? Talent is interchangeable.
Exactly.
And intellect. Fluid intellect can be applied to lots of different things.
I think they're based in Salford Keys, the Super League.
Are they?
I think they are, yeah.
Not in the...
St. George Hotel in Huddersfield, yeah. The Rendezvous Hotel just outside of Wakefield.
I think it's Media... they're just in Media City.
Are they?
There's a really good little place to get breakfast right next to where the Rugby League offices are.
Oh.
Well, you creative types are always hanging around Media City.
Yeah.
Whinging about stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, have we got everything? Have we done everything, surely?
Yeah.
No, we haven't. Coaching news. Roundtree?
Yeah, Roundtree and Stephen Larkham. I'm
to Munster.
Far more enthused by one of those appointments than the other.
Okay, well, I'll tell you which one I'm enthused about. Roundtree. You?
Why?
Because I still think he's a very relevant, very good technical scrum coach. Whereas I think Stephen Larkham has had the pick of the Australian talent for God knows how long, and they've been in a rut.
So, he was Harlequin's coach for a couple of years, wasn't he?
And Georgia.
Georgia. Now, Georgia don't need any help scrummaging, do they?
It's a pretty easy job, that one.
Harlequins, they had the key components. They had Lions props, and you couldn't get them to scrummage.
Well, that's an interesting one, okay. So, he had props like Kyle Sinclair, who...
And Joe Marler.
When he first came through, could not scrummage. And now, actually, he's a very good scrummager.
Yeah, maybe.
Marler's always been good at scrummaging, to be fair.
But never...
The question marks remain about why he got one hooker only to practice throwing, one hooker only to practice running, and one hooker only to practice scrummaging. That would be the bigger question.
And he is slightly tainted by England. Because...
Yes.
Everyone else. Like, so Lancaster's come out onto Leinster, won the Champions Cup. Farrell's gone to Ireland.
Yep.
Doing phenomenal things at Ireland.
Italy?
Italy. Less phenomenal. But you got to ask, where did it all go wrong?
Well,
maybe it's just the chemistry.
Here's where I think it went wrong for him. He actually came out of the whole England setup with a lot of credit. Everyone said Rowntree is the only guy who really, really knows what's going on.
Lions Tour 2017.
Yeah, so because of that, I think he went straight into employment, where the others had a little bit of time out to reflect. And that's why, Lancaster was busy going to Atlanta Falcons. He was busy, going to football matches, bulking up his CV. Same to a certain degree with Farrell. And then he got the Ireland job, which is a step back by anyone's standard. And then just, progressed forward. Actually, the Ireland job isn't a step backwards, but time out of the game is a step backwards. Whereas Roundtree was straight in employment again.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, that. I think there's something in it.
Yeah, and serial axe murderer, John Mitchell has resigned till 2021.
Yes.
Anyone enthused by that?
Whatever.
I like the defensive shape, particularly early on in the Six Nations.
Do you not think it is inflexible? Do you think it did one job for one team and then completely fell apart after that?
I wouldn't say it completely fell apart. It the whole team struggled against Wales.
Mm.
And were phenomenal for a half against Scotland and then appalling for a half against Scotland.
Oh, God, the Scotland game. Never, ever forget the Scotland game.
No.
Never. So I think that's the difference, really. When it was first unveiled, it was like world-beatingly awesome. By the time you get to the last game of the Six Nations...
So you're trying to pin a really bad performance on a coach and his defensive system?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah, which is nonsense.
It is not nonsense. It is not nonsense.
Because he was incredible in the first half and then terrible in the second half.
It is nonsense. Players were on the beach at halftime.
It is nonsense in the same way that I would put the credit for Wales beating England on the shoulders of Warren Gatland, because he outthought his opposition. Simple as that.
So actually, what we should be doing is Gregor Townsend is the most incredible coach ever, because he unpicked. He alone, England didn't play any better or worse one half to the next.
Ah,
but Gregor Townsend just unpicked a really naive defensive system.
So there is a saying in the NFL, right, which is like high school games, the teams change their strategy from game to game. College games, it's quarter to quarter, and then the NFL, it's play by play. And that's basically what happened to England. They went with one solid strategy throughout the whole thing. They got worked out. Wales beat them. And then in the first half against Scotland, Gregor Townsend went, this isn't working, and put 34 points on them. So that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
I think you could not attribute that to strategies at all.
Well, I can. I just have.
The John Mitchell re-signing is clearly just to match Eddie Jones.
Yes.
Which, by the way, shouldn't have even happened, to be fair. Because the plan was, he said it himself, I know when my job finishes. Turns out he didn't. And, you know, the RFU should have put plans in place, much like the WRU have, to have a fresh coaching strategy after that.
Well, we'll see how successful that is, because often when coaches are known to be leaving after tournaments, it doesn't end well. And you've got Ireland and Wales both going into the tournament, knowing their coaches are leaving. Yeah.
Which are the famous coaches leaving failures then?
I can't think of any off the top of my head right now. I just seem to know that is...
Well, Schmidt never took Ireland to the World Cup, and they were a disaster. Huh? Schmidt didn't take Ireland to the World Cup, did he? Last time round. It wasn't his team, or was it? I'm sure it wasn't. It was like Paul O'Connell and...
Paul O'Connell playing.
Yeah, yeah. So it was that group of players, and then Schmidt took over after the World Cup. Didn't he? Have I made that up?
I think you may have.
Try to think who the previous Ireland coach was.
I know.
I'm desperate to say Eddie O'Sullivan, but that's like 20 years ago.
No, Schmidt's been there since 2013.
So we did take them to World Cup?
Yeah, correct.
Well, that baffles me then, because that was a dreadful performance.
It was injuries. It was O'Connell, it was Beau.
O'Brien.
Yeah, there was multiple.
And Ireland
injuries.
Just don't get past quarterfinals in World Cups. That's just what happens.
The hilarity. Like, whatever that word is.
The All Blacks choke or win it.
Yeah.
Ireland are consistent at getting to quarterfinals and no further.
Hmm. All right, well, we've got plenty of weeks to discuss how badly Ireland are going to fail.
Yeah, but it was Declan Kidney with Les Kiss as an interim coach in 2013, in between Declan Kidney and Joe Schmidt. There you go.
So I was right. He didn't take him to World Cup.
In 2013, Joe Schmidt had them for 2 years prior to the 2015 World Cup.
Ah, right, okay. So,
and then Declan Kidney and Les Kiss were before that, and then before that it was Eddie O'Sullivan.
Correct.
Yes. Got you. Excellent. Right, you've got any more for any more?
Ronan O'Gara going to La Rochelle.
Got no idea.
Another good move for Ronan O'Gara, potentially.
Yeah. And I have no idea how that's going to work out, because he's never been in charge of a team, from what I can tell.
And they're a good team. They are a bloody good team. They've got a massive pack. They've got explosive runners in the forwards. They've got some intelligent backs and dangerous runners. So,
should we do a little bit of breathing just to centre ourselves?
A great idea.
James O'Connor, why don't you lead things off?
Oh, God. Oh,
I feel good.
It's in my nose. Tim, it's in my nose.
As much Love Island.
Yeah, let's go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.